it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And I want them to think that they have a chance, and I want to ruin their dreams, and I want me and you to be in the stands singing at the end going, that was amazing, even though the football wasn't good. I just want to beat them into submission. Because you know what you will always remember, Matt? You'll always remember not to forget. And we should remember not to forget that game against Luton a year and a half ago and bring our revenge as the dish served cold. I'm rolling. Why do you always pause to let me do it? Like, I gave you space to do something there and you haven't done it. So now I have to go and do it.
Well, neither of us are clearly in the mood to introduce this episode.
Fine.
Are you still on the come down from when we had Greg Mitchell on?
No, I'm excited because we're going to Luton together this weekend. And we're going to have a nice relaxing time. And there's four Premier League games on the Saturday. And we get to go to one of them for our team and watch the others and have beers and pizza and drink copious amounts of wine. Okay? So, no, I'm in a great mood, if you ask me. And I'm just going to jump straight into some of the Forest All Over the World stuff. I'll take control.
Stop
saying that I'm going to do it. Is that what you're going to say to me? Okay,
yeah.
Well...
No, you do it, but stop pre...
Okay! Sorry. My first shout-out is to Nottingham Forest fans based in Malaysia and neighbouring Singapore. That's what they have on their Twitter bio anyway. It's Malaysia NFFC. I want to give a big shout-out to them because I want to get some of those fans on the podcast. Obviously, we have fans from all over the world on a regular basis. We have never had them. Can we believe it? Do you believe it?
No, not at all. I mean, are they expats or are they natives?
I don't know. I think it's a combination between...
God, what conversation do you have? The most interesting thing about it, isn't it, is to find out where someone's from. And
well, the whole point is, did you just ask me what conversation I've had with you?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't had a conversation with them. That's why I'm trying to give them a shout out so that they've come on. I think we've messaged back and forth on Twitter occasionally, but that's why I'm trying to get Malaysia NFFC on. So any of the Malaysian Forest fans who listen to this podcast, because I think there's a couple, please reach out to us. We want you on. Ohio. Trickies, who we mention on a regular basis
regulars,
in the podcast,
yeah,
have finally managed to get four cases of the canned mist rolling in hazy pale ale out there. So big shout out to them.
That's fantastic. How are we going to get a taste of it? How are you going to get a taste of this beer?
I just wouldn't.
No yawning on the podcast. Moving on. Simon from the Bahamas reached out with a different Bahamas-based Forest fan. His name is Chris, good name. And this comes from him. Chatting to my dad over the weekend, turns out I'm so Nottingham Forest that Viv Anderson's mother was part of the delivery team that brought me into this world. You Reds. And that's from Bahamas-based Forest fan, Chris.
That's a great, great connection, isn't it?
Superb. Superb. Now, before we get into a Luton preview, which we will open up with and close with, saying that we're looking forward to very much watching the game and beating them, okay? I'd like to do a little bit of a thought of the day, or maybe even a question more than a thought of the day. Are you okay with that? Don't ask, just do it, Chris. Just do it, just do it. Is that what you're going
to
say?
No, a good thought of the day should be a question, I think.
Right, well...
Otherwise, it's just a conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's my question to you. I was in work the other day, and a work colleague came up to me and said that he heard one of my podcasts. And it made me think, wow, what a journey we've been on, even since we've had this podcast. And there's a timeline in this story of Forest being 17th, missing out in the playoffs, being devastated, buying 15 players one championship season, thinking it's too many, only to buy 30 a few seasons later and for it to work. Do you know, for us to get promoted, all the things that have happened over the course of even just the last 3 years, let alone 20, 30, 40 years of us supporting Nottingham Forest. And I wonder, Matt, I wonder, where are we in the story right now? Because last season we're in the story of triumphant, stay up in your face, pundits and media. The season before was we're bottom of the league, but we're going all the way to the top and getting promoted for the first time in 23 years. You know, the season before that, there was a story of us just about staying up and being desperate for any sort of decent football at all. You know what I mean? So where are we in this story now?
That was way too long a build-up for such a lack of profoundness, I'm afraid, Chris. I'm sorry, I'm not just digging, but I was like waiting for something. Where are we now? We are still trying to consolidate, mate. I'm afraid. I know you probably got lost in your thoughts today. I'm going to bring this up as a thought of the day. We kind of, in a roundabout way, talked about this a lot. We are here in year two. It's like what Greg was saying on the episode last week. Fans are potentially a bit complacent, but we know they won't let us down. Club's back where it wants to be, but it's important that we consolidate now. Even if we don't finish mid-table, we don't want to be anywhere near as anxious and nervy as before. That's where we're at now. It's sort of more about we're in the sort of eye of the storm before we catapult into the future of top 10 and potentially other European places, starting with the Conference League. But at the minute, we're in a bit of an eye of a storm, hopefully.
Well, just as you thought it was a boring question, I thought it was a reasonably boring answer. I'll tell you where we are in the story right now. We're in a story in a position where glory is about to come our way. We're not just sitting in mid-table mediocrity, reaching for the top 10. I strongly believe Forest are going to start looking at what Aston Villa and Brighton are doing, and we're going to excel. We did what a lot of teams haven't done last season. We were a team that managed to stay up for the first time in 23 years. Bournemouth and Fulham stayed up. Yeah, that's fine. They'd been up and down the few seasons before and they'd had parachute payments rolling in. We didn't do that. We've an ambitious owner.
Yeah, they have Premier League players in the Championship.
We've an ambitious owner. And I think, Matt, we're going to surprise ourselves once again and make two or three or four somersault leaps over the course of the next year or two. And I'm really excited to see where the fans are in the story. Because I'm not just asking where Nottingham Forest are, and I'm not asking where you and I are, because you hate talking about me and you. I'm asking, where are the fans in this story? Because I think some of what we represented back 3 years ago was a lot of the fan base and how they were feeling and where they were. Now, we've already exceeded our wildest dreams. There's no nightmares anymore. It's just puppy dogs and ice cream.
Yeah, I've said it before, I'm still, I think, definitely until the end of last season, probably still a bit now, we're still a little bit caught with our pants down in a good way. Like on cloud nine, still drunk off that Wembley day. We're just still recalibrating our perspective on the football world as Forest fans, I guess. And that's great. What a wonderful...
I can hear you smiling.
What a happy bit of respite from the past few years of railing against what feels like an onslaught of tidal waves.
Exactly.
Of disappointment.
Exactly.
And here we are.
And with that...
That's not a thought of the day.
Let's roll on to talk about what we're going to do this weekend to a team that used to be in the same division with us and beat us. And at Luton, who beat us only a year and a half ago, right? Maybe less than a year and a half ago. 1-0 in a complete shithousery performance. Right?
When we scored and they unfairly got our goal disallowed. Is that one?
Yeah, I am talking about that game, which we shouldn't forget, by the way. And you know what, Matt? This is what I want to see, okay, on Saturday. I'll tell you what I want to see on Saturday, okay? I don't want us to go out there and play 4-4-3-3 and express ourselves and play amazing football. I don't give a shit about any of that. I want us to go out there. I want five at the back. I want to drown this game and choke this team into absolute submission. I want to do what they did to us a year ago. I want to bully them up front. I want to beat them up and I want to bash them down. And I want to beat them 1-0. I want it to rain. And I want them to be slipping and sliding and thinking, well, we can win this game because it's going to... No. They're the game's Forest win now. They're the game's Forest win.
Are you talking about that time at their place?
I am talking about that time. Listen, I'll be honest. I heard Jacob on the Miss Rollingham podcast. They released one recently, okay? And he was talking about how he reckons we should go five at the back and just sit defensively and drag them into a dogfight but win it. And I think it's a really good point. I think that's how we have to approach this game. We did it against Burnley. We did the 4-3-3 flowing football. And what ended up happening? It does work, but we need a little bit of time with it. I do think we still need the same three midfielders in Sangare, Mangala and Dominguez, but I'm happy to have five at the back and bully these guys into submission. I don't want us to expect to play beautiful flowing football and then end up drawing 2-2 with Luton. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're going to think they have some sort of chance coming to us. I think they will. I think they will. They haven't got Nathan Jones anymore, but I think...
They haven't got Nathan Jones? Who gives a shit? about Nathan Jones. Nathan Jones went to Southampton and was probably one of their least successful managers of all time.
You're missing my point completely.
I am, but I just don't... You're giving him a bit of credit.
I'm not giving him any credit. I'm just saying part of his... Part, he had a bit of Gary Rowett about him and how he hated Forrest and he can't stand it. He loves doing one over on us. I don't have any respect for him. I'm just talking about that he's not there anymore. So it's a slightly different dynamic we're up against in terms of... You just like decided what my point was and ran away with it there.
You said they don't have Nathan Jones anymore. Is that a positive or a negative?
No, so there'll be a different dynamic about them.
Positively or negatively
for
them?
Not unspecified. It would just be different. They might not... This new guy might be less...
Unspecified.
Well, he might be less smug, which would mean that it's a positive now.
I mean, it depends. Smug managers can sometimes be good. Jose Mourinho was sometimes smug.
Yeah, but Nathan Jones was a pain in the ass.
For who?
And he's the person in question. See, do you see how you're distracting and diverting because you've realised that you jumped on it too soon? Don't worry, we forgive you. Chris, let's try and move on to this glass half full, half empty while we're here. You have forgotten to fill it out, but I'll forgive you. It's the first week. I'm going to run the music for it. We are going to... I'm going to have to play it on my own. And you can just call it and we'll just...
I don't know what we're doing here. We're doing glass half full, glass half empty. This new segment that you've created, correct?
I'd never call anything a segment. That's very much your language, but
okay.
You didn't have time to prepare your side of it, so I guess I'll play it on my own.
No, you don't have to play it on your own. I'm with you. Play it with me and let me just roll with the punches. Come on.
So I've got for you this week, you've got Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. You got to just give me a positive or negative about that. You got Murillo, positive or negative about him. Montiel is injured from the international break, a positive or a negative. Harry Arter secures a new 5-year deal through a genius loophole discovered by his agent. And then the next one is Notts County are bought by that Ghanaian billionaire, build a Spurs-like stadium in place of the Trent Bridge cricket ground and become Nottingham's main team and compete with Newcastle and Man City to be the future of English football. And then the last one is we lose to Luton 3-1 at home. Okay, Nottingham Forest are in the Premier League. I'll give you an easy start. I'll read the negative, which means you have to read the positive. Well, what if perhaps the actual journey is better than the destination? I'd be able to get tickets home and away much more easily, and there was less international breaks, and then when there were international breaks, we had less disruption to our playing staff, and we could also dream more realistically of more winning streaks. There you go. So I had to sort of adopt a negative approach, or a glass half empty approach to us, but Nottingham Forest are in the Premier League. Go on, have the positive.
Positive. Forest aren't playing Rotherham, Peterborough or Port Vale anytime soon. We're not travelling to Gillingham's away stadium that I've been to before. And no disrespect to those teams, but we are a far bigger and better side that should be and are playing Man City, Arsenal, Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool and beating a lot of those teams as well along the way. Having big, huge moments in big, huge matches against big, huge teams who play in big, huge competitions. And now we are in the biggest competition on the biggest stage and we can kick on from here. There is only positives about being in the Premier League.
Yeah, but did you like my glass half empty attempt?
Absolutely not. Next.
Okay, next one. Let's go to Harry Arter secures a new 5-year deal through a genius loophole discovered by his agent.
Right, so this is obviously false.
I'm going to say the negatives and you're going to give me the positives for that false reality. The negatives are not only do we keep draining funds on this guy, but we also become vulnerable to other smart agents' taxes for rimming us. And also it bloats our squad out. Someone high up at Forest would need to be fired immediately, and disruption is never good. His name's still on our club's roster, full roster, no matter where it is, it's just a turn off all round at this stage. Very funny though.
Positives. We can keep creating and generating funny jokes, memes and GIFs all over social media and have a laugh about the fact that his agent has done something miraculously stupid and wants to keep his player earning money but not playing football the last days of his career, because any actual footballer would want to play the last days of their career and would have the ambition to do so. Then again, we don't know the context, but that's not what you asked me to do. You asked me to give positives, and I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying. The positives are it would be one big joke. There you go.
I thought that also it could be a handy guinea pig for the reserves. Despite his age, his experience would be great for them to have to go up against in the younger cohorts if it can be exploited well by the various coaching staff. No?
Yeah, and that's a more realistic positive to go with an unrealistic statement, but yeah.
Let's do Montiel is injured from the international break.
What am I, negative or positive?
I'm going to give... You can do the negative.
This is going to sound bad, but I don't see the negative. Aurier needs to start in his position anyway, so that's it.
All right, go for the positive.
There you go. Look, let's move on to the next one. Murillo.
Yeah, no. I've got to give you a negative, though. I've got the glass half empty. Aurier could be actually injured after the Palace game. We don't know yet. And Aina, potentially. This would leave us very thin. He seemed to be coming through in his own past couple of appearances, did Montiel. And injury.
Williams would come in. It wouldn't make a difference. He's playing against Luton. All right.
Yeah, but you're missing the point of the interaction of this game.
Maybe you're missing the point.
Sorry that it's not one of your repetitive segments. But it seems that that's all you're able to work out in your head. Right, last one. No, you've got two more.
Hold on. You're not going to let me respond to that.
There's no time.
Carry on, then.
Notts County are bought by the Ghanaian billionaire. They build a Spurs-like stadium in place of Trent Bridge Cricket Ground and become Nottingham's main team and compete with Newcastle and Man City to be the future of English football. I'll let you do the positives.
Positives, it's great for the city of Nottingham Forest, and...
It's not good for Nottingham Forest.
Hang on, I was talking. It's great for Nottingham Forest and Notts County's rivalry, because I didn't get to finish my sentence because you cut me off. It's great for that rivalry. It builds the rivalry even more, and it becomes a big, massive rivalry that creates both teams right at the top competing against each other. Leaves Derby miles behind, but... I'm okay with County doing well as long as the rivalry stays together and it becomes an actual proper rivalry once again.
I think I got for positives there would be no cricket in Nottingham anymore.
Okay, what's the negatives?
It would be a generational shift in the fan base probably, and it could send Forest down eventually into non-league football, even right back into being liquidated, perhaps even leaving them as grass.
Let me finish.
Or perhaps even leaving
them.
Let me finish.
Fine.
Or perhaps even leaving them as the grass hockey team that Nottingham Forest was before it was a football team in the mid-1800s. Our own fans would really never get over it, and it would be a bit like it was in the Montagnier or Houghton days. Mull of Kintyre would still be boomed out, no matter how tiny the crowd, which would be a different kind of tearjerker.
Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
No, it doesn't.
Just because Notts County become big doesn't mean Forest become small.
No, but that's the point. You have to imagine what the negatives could be of that statement.
Sure, but am I not allowed comment on them? Am I not allowed comment on the ridiculous? Could you not have done a better negative?
Well, no. If you'd written your own, then you'd have realised the same thing.
Didn't need to write it, mate. Had it in the back of my head all the time. Are we ready to move on from this?
We lose to Luton at home 3-1. I'm going to give you the negative, then you're going to give me the positive.
Right, so this is the last one, right?
Yeah, it'd be disastrous. The opposition and the timing of the game after the international break to lose would suck us right into the mix, more than we are giving credit for. You'll hear more murmurs that we haven't had to endure this season from the wider media, and that will trickle into the dressing room. The players here aren't like before. There will be fractions easier and quicker. Negativity is going to be more potent. And losing to Luton, I'd go as far as to say that Marinakis might genuinely consider sacking Cooper. As drastic as that. More so than last year versus Leicester when the fans saved him. We all know that won't happen again. And that could be the case if we lost to Luton 3-1 this Saturday. Give me a positive if we lose to Luton 3-1 at home this Saturday.
Okay, no problem. If we lose to Luton 3-1 this Saturday, they'll be convinced they have an opportunity to stay up, which they won't. They're going to be rooted to the bottom of the table for the entirety of the season. They might finish second last. Whoop-de-f***ing-do. That would be a positive. Just to see the little hope rise in their eyes and the fire light up for a moment before they head back to Kenilworth Road, which wasn't ready for a Premier League after a few games because it's pathetic. And they will then sink back faster than the Titanic down to the bottom of the ocean, never, ever, ever, ever to be seen again.
And what about Forest in that scenario? That was great. You caught me by surprise. I'll give you the points.
Oh, I didn't know there was points in this game, by the way.
What?
Okay, well, who's winning right now?
Yeah, metaphorically. Just...
Okay. What are you asking me? Positives for Forest?
No, you just need one more positive for Forest if they lose 3-1 to Luton at home.
Okay, the positive for Forest if we lose 3-1 to Luton at home is Cooper will really start weeding out the players that haven't been performing as of late, and he'll focus in on his prime squad and really look to strengthen potentially in January. If we lose 3-1 at home to Luton, he'll be disappointed with how we performed. The result, he'll be disappointed for the fans, because that's the way he is. He's empathetic towards us, and he will really start to get ruthless once again, like he did at numerous points last season to keep us up. But this season, it'll be getting ruthless to get us further up the table.
Yeah, I put that for my positive. I thought it would probably force Cooper into doing a classic old school managers thing and bring the team back in the following morning and turn them into world beaters for the next three games. And I then put, if that was the case, I'd take a 5-0 loss to Luton right now.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
Well, sorry, everyone. I know that sounds like a mess, but it's what happens when 50% of the effort is not accounted for.
What do you mean 50%? It's not that there was no effort. You'd sent me that late. What time did you send me these things? 8:23. You sent me that like an hour or two ago. I'm busy and you're there sending me crap saying, can you do this? I don't even know what it said. You had to explain the game to me at the beginning of this, yo.
Yeah, because you don't ever read anything.
We'll move on. I've got a red hot take from a listener called Savraj.
What's the red hot take?
I tell you, you're in a bit of a fowler today. I can tell you're in a bit of a bad mood. Maybe it's me that's made you that way.
I'm not at all.
Literally, 48 hours from now, you're picking me up from the airport. So you better get a smile on your face. All right?
I don't know. The winds are picking up. I think those flights might be cancelled.
Why did you do that? That's not nice at all. You know I'm paranoid about things like that. Why would you do that?
But there is a storm coming. Have you seen it on the news?
Oh, shut up.
You'll be like Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump on one of them boats. You know, when he's in the storm on the ship. And all the flights are you coming across the Irish Sea.
Why is it always a Tom Hanks movie with you? If it's not Castaway, it's Forrest Gump. Anyway, let's move on. Savraj's red hot take. We will pick up more points away compared to points at home against weaker opposition.
Yeah, that's a good red hot take. And I immediately agree with it this season. I think you definitely will.
I disagree with it, but you tell me the reasons why you think we'll do that.
Because the focus has possibly changed. I think that seasons very rarely are consistent in their patterns. It's actually very normal things to be like, this happened one year, then that happened the next year. I think that's a reasonable and sensible red hot take. And I would even call it a hot take rather than a red hot take.
Well, it's pretty red hot take, because what he's saying is that we'll get more points away from home against teams like Luton, Sheffield United, Burnley, Wolves, all them. The teams, Everton, will get more points away from home against them than at home. But already, we beat Sheffield United at home, we've took a draw off Burnley, and we could potentially beat Luton this weekend, and they're all home games. So already, it's not necessarily shaping up to be that. I know what he's saying, and I get it. Like, we're playing better away from home now, and we could potentially get points in the road. But I'd contest that one, to be honest, because already, against the sort of a couple of the teams, we've already picked up points at home. Do you know what I mean? So we may go away and lose to those teams, or just draw with them, you know? Let's really kind of dissect the Luton game. This is meant to be a Luton preview, right? I'm not just going to go straight to a score prediction. I don't want to talk about deep analysis or anything, but I do want to kind of chat about the starting lineup and who you predict is going to start for us and stuff like that. So could you do me a favour, Matt, and just give me a quick sort of a quick rundown of who you think is going to start this weekend for Forest and who you want to start this weekend and what you expect to happen and how you expect us to play?
Which one first?
You know what? You can do all three in one, or you can do one by one. Do you remember the questions?
So that's just mad. Three in one, like...
Okay, don't. Okay, we'll start with who do you think...
All right, let's just go with who we'd like. Because saying who we think is just like, oh, who fucking cares?
All right.
Who would I like to see start this week? I would love to see Taiwo back. I would love to see... And I'm going to go back to front again, just because it's different. I'd love to see Taiwo back. I'd love to see Gibbs White playing in behind him. I'd love to see Hudson-Odoi on the left. Gibbs White's going to have to swing out to the right as well. The central three, Dominguez, Sangare and Mangala. And then a back four. Although I liked Jacobs and your thoughts from earlier, it would be good to just let them think that we think we're going to play and then them outsmart us when really suck them in and then just do what we do best. But going back, I'd like to keep with a 4-3-3 basically and stick Aurier right back. Love to see Iona back at left back with Murillo and Nyakate in the middle with Turner in goal. Murillo to get a couple of goals himself.
Okay.
So boring doing this. Well,
sorry, how is that boring? It's boring talking about the team that you think is going to be...
Because I'm so happy. I'm so happy with whatever the outcome. There's not a team you could put out there that I'd be disappointed with.
Then that's your answer. That's all you need to say at the beginning. If you're talking about being concise, you should have just said that. I mean, let's discuss that. So you're in a good mood. That leads back in the overarching way to the question I was asking you earlier, which is where are we in this story now? How are we feeling about this team? Not how are Forest in this story. How are we feeling? And I think you're feeling happy no matter what.
I tell you what, assuming Taiwo's still injured, what do we think about Hudson-Odoi up front or an Alanga up front? And then you keep the other one with Morgan Gibbs-White in their positions where they normally play with Taiwo up top. Or do you think it has to be an Origi or a Chris Wood?
Here's a little small 15-second clip of Chris from Dubai Trickies giving his thoughts on who he thinks should start up front and the reasons why.
I was thinking about changing Origi for Chris Wood, but Woody scored in midweek and he's probably well suited to a Luton kind of thuggery defence. So, yeah, that'll probably be my team. And what will the score be? They're not going to score past us, are they? I always say that, though. Even Sheffield United scored past us. So, yeah, 3-1.
Yes, actually, Chris from Dubai, that is kind of where I was going when I remembered we had Chris Wood and quickly said, oh, he'd probably come in. I couldn't articulate that, but that's exactly what I meant. Just instinctively, he feels like a good player for this kind of game. Feels right, doesn't it? I know I said that about Wood against, didn't I call it? Who did we play before the break? Palace. I was like, oh, I'll put Wood up front, and then he did play.
I love how you pick one player to make a team, and then you go, I called it. It's like, what? You called that we'd lose to Palace as well. We didn't. But anyway, look, would you go 5-3-2 ever? Would you even consider that or not? Or 5-3-1-1?
Yes, of course I would, because I would be, because it's not as literal as that anymore, isn't it? It would still find that 5-3-1-1. Could still morph into the 4-3-3, or, I mean, how insane could we play a side? Could we do it with three at the back and replace our wing backs with some mad wingers?
I think that's what it would become. It would become three at the back. So you'd start with, for example, Murillo, Bolly, and Niakate, for example, or Murillo, Bolly, and Worrell, or whoever's available, right, in the three at the back. And then you would put Aurier on the right-hand side, providing he's injury-free. You'd put Aina on the left-hand side, providing he's injury-free, but he's not. Or whoever happens to be available, right and left back, okay? Then those two would push forward, and you'd still have Dominguez, Mangala, Sangari in the middle. Morgan Gibbs-White just in front of them, and Wood just bashing it up top. And I think what would end up happening is Luton would press on a little bit, assuming that they can maybe take control of the game, even then they wouldn't. And we just break and score, bully them into submission, and then they just wouldn't lay a glove on us for the rest of the game. I mean, they were so useless against Spurs, even though Spurs were down to 10 men for a whole half, that, you know, it's hard to see, oh gosh, I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not going to score, but it's hard to see Luton break down a back five that sort of converts into a back three with /2 on the wing backs, you know what I mean? So
Luton are getting a goal at the weekend, mate.
Why do you say these things to sort of tempt me into sort of a weird argument? Why do you think
it's not to tempt you an argument? I think you only feel like you could get into an argument because you're in the ball pit of your stomach. You're really pretty in agreement with me. I know you
are. Oh gosh,
I know you. And I know Forrest.
Okay, Luton could score a goal, but I mean, the last two games, what they played Burnley away and scored a late 84th minute goal at home, or the Burnley at home it was, and Spurs at home, and they couldn't score for 45 minutes. Yeah, they could score a goal. Didn't they score a couple against Everton? Yeah, they did. But our defence is much, much better. We kept a clean sheet away to Chelsea, and then recently we kept a clean sheet against Palace. We've shored up the back, Matt. We've actually shored up the back. I think we've done very, very well. You look at the goals that we've conceded in recent times, certainly we've done well. I think we could keep another clean sheet. You know that? I think we could.
Yeah.
I think we will.
I can just see us going having full control, full possession, then conceding a stupid goal just before half time and spending the second half just absolutely trying, and then them getting a fluky penalty at the end and us losing 2-0.
Which is why I don't want full possession. I'm happy to let them try and come on our back five and break a little bit and just sort of like mix the game up a little bit. Like, let them come at us with all they've got, which isn't very much, and then break, score a goal, make them force the issue late in the second half and score a second and win 2-0, which is my prediction.
It's Gibbs White, isn't it? Gibbs White's getting a goal. It's time for him to shine.
It's time for Gibbs White to shine. It is time for Gibbs White to shine. And we say that every podcast.
And he's had his rest.
He's had his breaks.
We say that every podcast, of course.
Yeah, he's had his breaks.
Listen, mate, It's been lovely talking to you. Guys, we'll see you after... I've got a mate, it's 11 o'clock.
Really, it's so funny. It's been lovely talking to you. It doesn't sound like it for the whole thing. But you're going to see me very, very soon. And you're going to pick me up from the airport.
You'll have to sharpen it up in the edit, mate. You have to sharpen it up.
Why don't you
edit.
Sharpen up your attitude? And then me and you can have fun this Saturday and enjoy what will be a wondrous, wondrous occasion. If anyone's around, give us a shout. And by the way, Malaysia, get hold of us. We want you on the podcast. Follow us at, Matt, can you send it out for me?
At NFC all over on X, formerly known as Twitter, or at Forest all over.
Stop. What? Stop for a second. Stop, 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 stop. We never did a score prediction.
Well, we were all over the place. I said that we were going to lose 2-0. We talked earlier about potentially losing 3-1. We talked about winning. Like, we got to batter him. I said with Greg it would be 4-0 or 3-1 or something. I'm going 4-0 Forest. 4-0.
4-0 Forest. And I'm going to go 2-0 Forest. And who's going to score for us, Matt? So you've gone from 2-0 loss to 4-0 win. You're all over the place.
Yeah, I want a 4-0 win. I'm going to say Gibbs White get 2 goals. Murillo gets a goal. There's a goal from someone like Sangare. Sangare gets one.
Okay. I'm going with 2-0. And I'm going with Gibbs White and Chris Wood. Everyone out there, thank you so much for listening. Apologies if this episode is nowhere near as good or entertaining as the last with Greg Mitchell, who was fantastic. Please do listen to that. He talks all about Forza Garibaldi. That was an amazing episode for us anyway, and we were a bit starstruck by it. Please do like and subscribe and get on Spotify and Apple and rate us, please. We do want good ratings. It helps us, boosts our podcast. And follow us at Forest All Over on Instagram or at NFSC All Over on Twitter. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. Matt and I will be at the Luton game and we will do a podcast reflecting on it next week, won't we, Matt? And hopefully we'll have someone from all over the world again, which is what I'm going to try and do weekly. And if Matt's not here, I'll do it with someone who is somewhere else but here. Okay, Matt? Sounds like we're really excited. I am actually excited to see you, by the way. I know you're not excited to see me, but I am excited to see you. Are you not?
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait for the weekend.
It's going to be good fun. We're going to enjoy it. Sound it out. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Don't yawn.
Goodbye,
don't yawn.
See you next. See you all after the weekend.